Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we get the inside take from actors, artists, and creators on their work, career, and the things they obsess about. I'm your host, Connie Guillermo. Chances are you probably don't know who Philemon Chambers is. And that's okay, because the gifted young actor hasn't really starred in very much. At least not yet. That's all about to change. Chambers co-stars in Single All the Way, which is being billed as Netflix's first gay holiday rom-com. It airs on December 2nd and also features Michael Urie, Jennifer Coolidge, and Kathy Najimy. Chambers plays Nick, who pretends to be in a relationship with his best friend Peter, who doesn't want to show up without a partner again at his family's annual holiday get-together. But then Nick has to figure out what his true feelings are for his best friend. If that sounds like a familiar plot for a romantic comedy, it is, and that's the whole point. Chambers says he's proud that Single All the Way doesn't resort to LGBTQ stereotypes and just presents a story about families and people trying to find love. I have to start by saying I went and researched you, and there's not a whole lot about you out there, including I saw that you joined Twitter several months ago, and I laughed because your tweet was March 24th. Let's give Twitter a try. And so, of course, I started following you, and I am thrilled to say that I am, you know, in the first 50 people following you.
Yeah, I did just join Twitter because social media for me has always been kind of like a struggle, because I do have anxiety when it comes to social media. I feel like most of us do. But yeah, Instagram, you got me on there. Like that's my bread and butter. But yeah, Twitter is a whole new avenue that I'm trying to navigate.
Okay, well, social media is fraught with danger. And there's a whole debate in this country right now about whether Facebook, which I don't know if you know, I'm talking to you the day after Facebook renamed itself Meta because of a lot of reasons, but including the fact that it does not have the best reputation for some of the mistakes it's made. Yes. Well, let's start by talking about a project that you're about to star in. The work is already done, but it's about to air on Netflix. And I looked up how Netflix is promoting the show, and they say it's the first gay Christmas rom-com. It's called Single All the Way. It's going to air on Netflix in December. Okay, so you tell us what this groundbreaking, it seems, rom-com is all about.
Yes. This is Netflix's first LGBTQ rom-com, and it is the first of its kind. The storyline is about Peter, who is played by Michael Urie, who is usually single around Christmas. And his family is very adamant about him being with somebody. So what ends up happening is somebody does come into the picture, but they end up not working out. And he, Peter, coaxes me, Nick, his best friend, to come along for the holidays with him to convince his parents after all of these years that we are together. And some funny turn of events happen. But the reason why I feel like this is such a groundbreaking project, not only because it's the first of Netflix's, dive into the LGBTQ rom-com community, but that this project is so filled with joy and there is no negative connotation, no anything of that sort in this. It is literally, you see people for people. And that's one of the things that I had wished growing up that I had saw, because anytime you saw a queer character portrayed on TV, there was always some sort of negative stereotype, or it was on the down low. And especially as a young LGBTQ a gay man, I'm still in awe for it. I am.
How big a risk do you think this is for Netflix? I mean, they're so widely viewed. I mean, you talk about Netflix is, I'm not going to say it's a reflection of reality because they have a lot of weird programming. Squid Game.
Squid Game was so good. Oh, so good.
You know, they're trying to reflect the interests of people around the world. They have millions and millions of subscribers. So on the one hand, what you're saying is this is what real life is like, or maybe Single All the Way, you know, has a cheerful, you know, glossy vibe to it. So you know, it's a rom-com. That means I assume that there's a happy ending. I have not seen it, in all honesty. I didn't get a preview of it, but is it a risk to do this? Is it a risk for you as an actor to do this? I mean, do you think so in 2021, soon to be 2022?
You know, the, not to bring the pandemic into it, but bringing it into it, I feel like it allotted us all the time to self-reflect. And in that, I don't feel like it's a risk because this is my truth. These are a lot of people's truths. And to have it depicted in such a positive way, what risk can there be? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, acceptance is acceptance. When you fully and truly accept somebody and love somebody unconditionally, that should go without words. So no, I don't feel like it is a risk.
This is one of the most, or probably one of the biggest projects you've worked on. I'm thrilled that we're talking to you at the beginning of your career, but you know, you're entering the industry at a time that is very interesting, right? We have, you mentioned the pandemic, the whole world shifted to streaming, partly because they had no choice. The movie theaters were shut down, but also how we view content, that's one part of it. But also there's been a reckoning in the entertainment industry. It's been going on for years about the lack of diversity and about showing different voices and perspectives, but it's accelerated because of everything that happened over the past year, including the Black Lives Matter movement. We've seen entertainment actually make some very interesting strides. You had Bridgerton do, you know, lean into colorblind casting. So, okay, you've been working on and off since you were a kid, 13 years, when you were 13, you said, how has it even changed? And what you're seeing, how the industry looks to you as an actor trying to make your way in the world?
It's become so much more inclusive. There are stories being told that have never been given the platform to go mainstream. We're talking about Bridgerton. We're talking about Insecure, Issa Rae, what she's done. And in that, it gives me a lot of reassurance because growing up, you know, it was all about, there weren't really these types of stories out there. And it's nice to be a Black man and see relatable stories being told, especially when it comes to, I just saw a film, don't quote me on the name, but it was the first time I really saw interracial couples. And I was just like, oh my God, now that's actually being mainstreamed. And it's something that hit me because my mom, she's white, and then my dad is Black. So growing up, it was just one of those things that I was just accustomed to. And to now actually see that be a thing means the world to me. So I would say just the inclusivity of being in entertainment now is just have me on cloud nine.
What did you want to be when you were a kid? Did you always want to be an actor?
I actually did. My parents took me to see The Lion King play when I was 6 years old. And I remember sitting in the chair. They had to get me like a little box so I can sit up because I couldn't really see over the other seats. But I remember just watching The Lion King and seeing them perform. And I knew every lyric. I knew every word. I was singing everything. The people in front of me kept on turning around. And during intermission, my mom and dad were just like, "We're so sorry. We're so sorry." And they were just like, "No, we're enjoying him more than the show." So, you know, I kind of knew then. But no, when I was six, I knew I wanted to act. I knew I wanted to entertain, and I knew I wanted to be something bigger than myself.
What's your favorite song from Lion King?
Okay. So I would say One of Us. One of Us, it's not from the original Lion King. It's from Lion King 2. And it's when Simba is trying to get Kovu away from his daughter. And they find out that he's Scar's son. And there's this whole like big musical thing where they try to kick him out of the Pride Lands. That's my go-to. That's my go-to.
So what else did you watch growing up? What informed your thinking about the kinds of stories that, well, what kinds of stories were you drawn to? And then, of course, on the flip side of that, after you answer that, I'm going to ask you, what kinds of stories do you think we still need to see?
You know, when I was growing up, I was watching Pokemon a lot. So, yeah, anime. But as I got older, I was exposed to things like Volcano with Tommy Lee and Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams. And that's when I discovered Robin Williams and I fell in love with Robin Williams. So anything that he did, I watched. I'm a big sci-fi person. I love me some sci-fi. Martian's Attack. even Harry and the Hendersons, actually. Have you ever seen Harry and the Hendersons?
I am happy to say I have. John Lithgow is brilliant in Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes. So that is actually one of my favorite movies because Bigfoot, I'm so down for Bigfoot. Mac and Me, of course, like E.T. Those were the things that I grew up watching. Yeah.
Wait, but those are what I put in the category of happy sci-fi. Right?
Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like Galaxy mm-hmm. Quest and Paul, I would add to that. Let's talk about then what kind of movies or entertainment, because it doesn't need to be movies, there's TV shows, there's all these series, mm-hmm. that you think we need to see more of. I mentioned, obviously, Single All the Way. We talked about how that's groundbreaking, and especially Netflix bringing LGBTQ rom-com story for Christmas. Talk about mainstreaming something and trying to normalize it and hopefully normalizing it for the country. But what else?
I think that, of course, we're going in the right direction, especially with the stories that are already being told. Even with Single All the Way, there is, of course, the me, Michael Urie, and Luke McFarlane are, of course, LGBTQ. And it's rare, especially in me as a Black man growing up, like I said earlier, referencing back to that, not having representation and seeing these types of characters be given life and actually, you know, the networks and streaming services taking a chance and taking a risk. So even with Anthony Mackie, I bring him up in specific because he's now taking over for Captain America, and having that is monumental. Even let's go back to Chadwick Boseman, God rest his soul, Wakanda, the Black Panther, having stories like that be told, having that rich culture of being Black and not having it be just this monolith. I'm excited because if I knew everything that we needed to see, I would do it. But as things come along, I just get more and more and more and more excited. And that lets me know that I can do it.
So all of those things that you mentioned, Black Panther, obviously, our first Black Captain America. I'm a huge Marvel fan. And
same.
Actually for this series, we did meet Chadwick Boseman. I interviewed him before Black Panther was released, and he talked about the importance of the role and being a role model, but also just bringing those stories to life. But I still think you can count them on two hands, right? There still needs to be more.
There does still need to be more, but you know, going back to that, the representation of it and the importance of the role. When I first got Single All the Way, I didn't really realize the importance of what it was and what I was doing and what I was bringing to the table and now adding into the Rolodex. It was the moment when I sat down and I was like, wow, I'm what I needed when I was younger. And it hit me because it means something that I can now be that for not only youth, but adult. And it rings true because there's so many different levels of representation in this movie. Not only do you have queer characters who aren't just stereotypical, who aren't just the Hollywood stereotypical, oh my God, girl. Like, that was one thing that hit me because, especially growing up, I never saw myself in any character. But even in the family dynamic of things, you see what can happen if a family truly embraces and loves their son, their daughter, for who they genuinely are. Not who you want them to be, but who they are. You get to see and experience and live in their moment with them and know that they're having a genuine experience versus this being like a rebellious thing. Because I know there's that some things that happen with, especially the Black families. And I have to speak on what I know and what I've been through. It's one of those things where they tell you, this is not true, this is not true.
I think your point, and you made it earlier as well, is that this movie doesn't feed into stereotypes. It talks about mm-hmm. a slice of life that is real, and mm-hmm. it's about people mm-hmm. interacting with people and their families. Mm-hmm. And also, you actually have characters that are not pretending to be LGBTQ, mm-hmm. which has been a lot mm-hmm. of what we've seen, and that's how you get to those stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Yes. No, it is true. It is very true because that was another thing that I was talking about the other day with one of my friends and also one of my family members is a lot of the times when somebody is not in the LGBTQ community, they can say, oh, I understand where you're coming from. You can understand, but you'll never really be able to get it because you're not in it. You haven't had to fight. You haven't had to hide. You haven't had to do any of these things. And of course, tying it back in, I'm just loving the fact that there is so much genuine representation now being put out into the world.
The name of this podcast is called I'm So Obsessed. So I'd like mm-hmm. to ask you, what are you obsessed with?
I am obsessed with meditation. I am obsessed with being next to my crystals, charging my energy, fixing my chakras. That's my go-to nowadays.
So what does meditation mean to you? Like, do you take X many hours or minutes out of your day? Are you intentional about it? Is it passive? Like, tell me what that means.
Oh, no, yeah. It has to be. I feel like with meditation, it teaches you intent and it teaches you to have intention. Because if you just go into meditation blindly, it's going to be a circle thing. You're not going to find anything from it. I mean, you'll be calmer, but there has to be an end game. And meditation for me, I discovered it along with the pandemic. It was a double whammy because I found myself having a lot of anxiety from the pandemic and not knowing how to cope with certain things and being a worker bee and then going from a worker bee to just being in the house and confined to four walls was just absolutely it was not beautiful. It was not pretty. So discovered that. And then also along with filming, because this was a big undertaking. This was a monumental moment for me in my career. And it can be very overwhelming. It can be very, very overwhelming. So in the moments where I did have, be it in my trailer, right before I got in the car, or on set, sitting right next to Michael, just having like a little Zen moment to just find my intent, ground myself. It did a lot. And it made me, the meditation and also going through this experience made me a better actor. It made me trust myself even more.
CNET has a lot of cred in the tech community. And I'm curious, we were talking about streaming services and how they have become much more important, especially since we're living through a pandemic.
Yes.
What have you binge watched over the past year?
Ooh, Squid Game. That was recent.
And why did you like Squid Game? Because it's got a lot of mixed reaction, you know, for a lot of reasons. Although it's gotten people to read subtitles, so that's cool.
You know, I mean, of course, I'm a big story guy, and the story that some people, of course, could be in debt, and then this guy comes along, and oh well, I'll take care of your debt. You just got to play a game. That was intriguing to me because I'm like, okay, let's see where this goes. And then when the game actually starts, you saw a little bit of humanity for me in a weird way you did. Besides Squid Game, On My Block, love On My Block. It's just, because honestly, it's kind of how I grew up. You know, being in a neighborhood where it wasn't quite the best, and you did have to play by certain rules and certain dynamics, to see that be out, I was like, oh, this is okay. All right.
Okay. CNET is, as I mentioned, has its roots in tech. And so I want to ask you some questions about tech in your life. What's your favorite piece of tech?
My phone, all the way. Cannot live without it.
What piece of tech do you wish were invented just for you?
AirPods.
Well, they've invented AirPods. You're wearing them.
Just for me. Like, just for me. Like, if nobody else could have them, just AirPods. Because I love listening to music in my own head. But yeah.
So you're a big, I imagine, iPhone AirPods fan.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing your new movie on Netflix in December. Again, Single All the Way, groundbreaking, the first gay Christmas rom-com according to Netflix, and gratified that it's going to be uplifting, because we could all use some uplifting entertainment in our life.
Yes, we can all use it, especially after the year that we had. So I feel like this will be like a great into a year going into 2022, which will definitely be much better.
Why do you think 2022 is going to be better? Because it's been like 2 years that have been a doozy, right?
I think 2022 will be better because of the measurements that have been taken in order to get us to a place of immunity. Of course, now I am vaccinated, so is my family, and so are majority of us now. And going into that, as long as we still have an eye open to what could be, in a sense of not just being, you know, willy-nilly and not having a mask on and not being cautious and careful, especially around our elders or those who are more immunocompromised than ourselves, we're going into the right direction, in my opinion.
Thank you, Philemon Chambers, for talking with me. And thank you for listening. I'm So Obsessed was created by our executive producer, Danielle Ramirez. Our editor and lead producer is Sophia Fox Sowell. And this episode was produced by Rebecca Fleener. Please take a moment and subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app. And follow the show on Twitter @I'm So Obsessed Pod. Until next time, be safe.